Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
The two entities really representing Black journalism in this country are the NABJ in terms of individual Black journalists in all media, but then the Black newspaper publishers coming up on their bicentennial. And so we've heard from Aaron Haynes of the NABJ today. Now let's hear from Dr. Benjamin Chavis of the National Newspaper Publishers Association, founded, well, the first Black newspapers published 200 years ago. Dr. Chavis, good morning to you. Welcome to MIP on 89.3.
Good morning, Mark. This is a discussion about freedom of the press. It's also a discussion about democracy. It's a discussion about fascism. It's a discussion about the authority in the White House overreaching and having a negative impact, not just on Minneapolis and Minnesota, but throughout our nation. So the National Newspaper Publishers Association, we've called for all the charges on Don Lemon and Georgia Fort, as well as the others, be dropped. They should never been arrested in the first place. But, you know, and it's ironic. Well, I haven't seen that's ironic. It's contradictory, Mark, that ICE agents have stormed churches.
Mm.
And, you know, you don't see the people on the far right saying, oh, we got to protect the sanctity of the church. So there's selective reach and selective protection of the freedom of religion, but all are in the First Amendment. So one item in the First Amendment does not overshadow the other items in the First Amendment.
Right.
You can have freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom to seek grievances to the government. That's what the First Amendment was rounded to make sure that it's holistic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, you're absolutely right. And so we'll see where this goes. I just don't see how there's any legal standing for the government to prosecute on this. But if we're looking at the history, it's Black History Month. If we're looking at the history of the Black press, this has always been the play.
The Black press goes back
in terms of targeting folks. J. Edgar Hoover targeted the Black press as early as 1919. A lot of people don't know how long J. Edgar Hoover was on the scene. 1919. This is before the FBI was even created. He got started on the Black press, Marcus Garvey, and W.B. Du Bois. Talk to us a little bit about that, Dr. Chavis, how the Black press was targeted in World War I,
right.
Du Bois, and then in World War II because of the Black publisher John Sinsack.
Exactly. Well, you know, John Sinsack was the first chair, one of the founders of the National Newspaper Publishers Association. They tried to use the Espionage Act on John Sinsack and the NNPA back in those days because of our fairness, because we sent reporters to cover what was going on in World War II. And there were people in the United States that did not like that. We were putting the truth of what was going on in the war.
And the Double V campaign.
That's right. And,
you know, we're going to fight for democracy abroad.
That's right. But also
democracy at home. The double V. And the double V was very, 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 very popular.
Exactly. And I think that, as you know, when those soldiers came back from World War II, they were unrestrained in their demands for freedom in America that they fought for in Europe. And we're thankful for the Black press, but I'm going to go back even to the first publication of Freedom's Journal in 1827 in New York City. Mm-hmm. After the papers are laid out, no New York printer mark would print it. So they had to go get some of their friends, allies in the Jewish community to pay for the printing of the first journal. But the thing is, I'm going to bring up is that the Black press for 200 years has been on the front line of not only reporting the news, but we've also been an advocate for freedom, justice, and equality. And what just happened to Don Lemon and Sister Ford, Georgia Ford, is not something out of the ordinary when it comes to the Black press. Our members of the press were also during the height of the civil rights movement challenge. Some of our newspapers have been dynamited, have been firebombed, you know, because of our vigilance, because of our steadfastness in not only speaking truth to power, but holding power accountable. And I think that's what's missing today, Mark. How do we hold the Trump administration accountable? How do we hold the Department of Homeland Security accountable? How do we hold the Department of Justice accountable? This is 2026. You know, as I said to the Urban League recently, this has got to be payback year. This has got to be clapback year. This has got to be, you know, stand up, speak, vote. You know, we cannot afford a low voter turnout in November 2026. And I know this is the second day of Black History Month, but we need to start mobilizing now. The best way to celebrate Black history is to make some more history. Make some more Black history.
That's right.
That's the largest Black voter turnout in world history, right here in America. You know, the largest Black voter turnout in world history right now is in South Africa. That's interesting.
It is interesting. Well, and speaking of South Africa, you kind of anticipated my next question. You've been involved in struggles on the continent.
Yes.
Europe, I mean, one of the ways to come after our people, even on the continent, is the European powers trying to limit and tamp down the Black press. And in other parts of the world, press have fewer freedoms. The state controls press. This is the one country in the world where you're supposed to have more press freedoms. Those have been abridged. But if we look at our people historically, stopping the Black press is important. I want to mention, and I don't know whether what year was the NMPA founded, Dr. Shavers? I don't remember.
1940.
Okay, so the Messenger was a Black newspaper. A. Philip Randolph. He was locked up.
That's right.
You know, because of what he was publishing in the Messenger magazine, which was a union magazine. But talk to us, if you would, about, you know, the Black press being under attack, even on the continent and the Caribbean.
Absolutely. And you know that the administration just announced more sanctions on Cuba. I think that the lifeline of the Black press is not just confined with the continental United States.
Right.
We have strong Black press in Canada. We have strong Black press throughout Latin America, Brazil, in the Caribbean, and of course in Africa. I think the goal is, Mark, is to have a unified blackpress.com, to have a unified Black press, not only in America, but throughout the pen, you know, wherever Black people are, I think wherever African people are, the diaspora, we need to make sure that we strengthen the Black press.
Right.
I think we should use this as an opportunity, Mark, not just to react to the repression, but we should be strategically planning how to not only sustain the Black press, but to expand its reach, to expand its impact, to expand our voice. You know, in the early days, they said we were the voice of the voiceless. You know, Marcus Garvey had the largest Black worldwide newspaper.
That's right.
It's called The African World. And they attacked him on tax, unjust tax fraud. You know, it violated Marcus Garvey's First Amendment rights. So what happened to Don and Georgia? They should see it as this is how we begin in Black History Month 2026. You know, we have to fight for freedom. Freedom of the press is just not on some document called the Constitution.
Right.
Freedom of the press has to be in our souls. Freedom of the press has to be in our minds. Freedom of the press has to be in our pocketbooks. Mm. We need to be supporting the Black press financially, you know. And I think what happened to Don in Georgia, I like the idea of Black journalists having a legal defense fund. Or we talked to the current legal defense fund about having a section of the NAACP legal defense fund set up to defend Black journalists.
Yes.
I think we need to do that. And I think that I would like to announce on your show that the NNPA and the NABJ, we should work together on this.
Yeah.
You know, and work to bring not only awareness to our communities that we serve, but let's strategically plan how to hold these fascists to accountability.
Mm.
And, as I said in another setting, James Baldwin once told me words matter.
Yeah.
Phrases matter. Messaging matter. So we need to tighten up our messaging on not only what happened to Don Lemon and Georgia Ford, but what is happening to Black America? What is happening to African people? We need more unity today than ever before.
Yeah.
Across lines of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, We have, it's interesting, Mark, we have more Black organizations than we ever had, but they ain't working together.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to work together, you know, and to have a mass response. You know, I'm going to go back to the Black church. We used to have mass meetings in the Black church.
That's right.
We need to resurrect. I'm going down to Selma. I think the greatest impact for Selma in 2026 it's supposed to start having mass meetings again. I spoke to Rose Sanders yesterday about the Jubilee, and I'm hoping that we can have a convergence of leadership while we're in Selma in the next several weeks, Mark.
Yeah. Well, no, that's very, very important. 202-588-0893. When you call in, please give Brother Cody in the studio your name so he can put it in the chat for me, and then we'll bring your calls up and get to you to discuss this issue. It is Black History Month, African-American History Month. I think this is the 100th anniversary.
Correct.
Of Black History Month. I think, I don't know, was it 22 or 26? Let's look it up right now. That's why we have these computers now. It started out as Negro History
Week.
And I heard somebody say earlier,
College
it, was, it was the 100th anniversary. Let's see what. No, it was, this is it. February 7th, 1926. This is the 100th anniversary of recognizing Black history. Started as Negro History Week. Now it's Black History Month or African American History Month. And so, in that vein, and we invite your calls and your thoughts on this. And I just want to ask a question on Pacifica, not really supposed to promote anything. So, I'm just asking a question. How many of you support the Black press, whether it's individual journalists working for corporate media or whether it's a Black newspaper? How many of you support the Black press? I just want to do that little informal poll Let me know, 202-588-0893. Meanwhile, Dr. James, I think we do well to share some Black history. So I got a little bit in front of me, just sort of a timeline of the history of the government and the Department of Justice, y'all, targeting the Black press. So between 1917, I'm just gonna go through this, and Dr. Chavis, feel free to insert and share some of this history, y'all, because we need to understand this didn't just start. We need to understand we can't do anything if we don't use our history as prologue. So this is not something new. And they know this. That's why they're going back. When they say we're gonna do the FACE Act and the Ku Klux Klan Act, that's because some of those devils have researched some of the stuff that has happened before. They're not smart enough to just know that off the top of their head. They never Pam Bondi never heard of the FACE Act or the KKK Act before the other day. Some people researched that for her and then brought it to her. So there were two acts in 1917, the Espionage Act and the Sedition Act. And those two were used against the Crisis magazine and the Messenger. The Crisis was Du Bois. The Messenger was A. Philip Randolph. All right?
A. Philip Randolph was labor. The Crisis was the civil rights, the NAACP.
That's right. The NAACP.
So they went after all the movement organizations. And it's interesting. One of the things we should not ever forget, Mark, is the historic solidarity between the Black freedom movement and the labor movement.
That's right. That's right. Now, Crisis within the NAACP. So, and at that time, the post office and the DOJ were monitoring and suppressing Black publications. That's all. We have TV yet. There was no TikTok and Instagram back then, y'all. So all we had was print. A. Philip Randolph and his colleague Chandler Owens were arrested in 1918, and both publications, The Messenger and The Crisis, faced threats of losing their mailing permits. They used the post office, said y'all can't mail, and that's how you disseminated the paper. Y'all can't use the mail no more. In between 1919 and 1922, there were the Palmer raids. The DOJ's General Intelligence Division, remember, there's no FBI yet, led by a young, passing, closeted J. Edgar Hoover. All right? We know his Black family came out and said he was passing and he was closeted. Well, the movie said he was closeted. More people knew he was closeted than those who knew he was passing. J. Edgar Hoover monitored between 1919 and 1922. Monitored 251 so-called radical Black newspapers claiming they were exciting the Negro elements. This established the precedent for Hoover's lifelong, once the FBI was founded, lifelong surveillance of Black editors and Black newspapers. He even pushed for a peacetime sedition act. That didn't work, but he did it. All right. So then this brings us, we mentioned earlier, John Sengstack, 1942. The Attorney General at the time, Francis Biddle, summoned John Sengstack, founder of the NNPA, threatening him into D.C., summoned him to D.C., threatening him with sedition for reporting on military segregation. The Double V campaign said, all right, now, we're not going to fight for democracy abroad and not have democracy at home. They're going to have us fighting over here and keep us segregated in the military. All right. There was a negotiation, Dr. Chavis, a truce for that. But the DOJ continued to monitor the NNPA and all the Black newspapers and have been doing so ever since. Now, but let me just say this. What was important about that, Dr. Chavis, is that I want people to understand this. Not only was the pressure that Black newspapers applied instrumental in Jackie Robinson integrating the major leagues, which led to the fall of segregation. But 1 year later, because of what the Black press is saying, integrate the major leagues, and the Black press is saying, Black newspapers are saying, integrate the military. And they won. That was the power of the black press. Those campaigns were successful in the 40s. Yes. That's why you had Jackie Robinson in 47 and Truman desegregating the military in 48.
So Mark, what you're emphasizing is the importance of how we communicate with one another.
Yes.
You're right. In 2026, we have more at our disposal in terms of distribution of content, production of content. However, what is missing is to make sure that the content that we are producing, like this program that we're on now on Radio with you,
right?
We have to make sure that we put it out in a way that engages the masses of black people. I think that we shouldn't wait till something happens tragically to get ourselves excited about freedom, justice, and equality. Mm-hmm. When we wake up in the morning to go to sleep at night, this should be on our mind. You know, Dr. King's dream was not something that took place while he was asleep.
Hello.
Dr. King was wide awake.
Yes, sir.
You know, and his dream was to reawaken. And, you know, Dr. King was also a journalist. He wrote op-eds in the black press.
Yeah.
Because the mainstream press would not cover him.
That's right.
The mainstream press would not cover Fred Shuttlesworth or C.T. Vivian or one of, you know, or even Andrew Young. And so it was the determination and the courage, I would say, of the black press to speak truth to power when it's not popular.
That's right.
You have to understand, which I know you do, Mark, today in 2026, there's a lot of folk who are afraid, fear. Because they think they may get snatched out of their car. They may get snatched out of their job.
That's right.
They may get snatched. Their kids may get snatched on the way to preschool. So this fear needs to be shattered. And the black press is one way to shatter the fear and put in place of the fear solidarity, put in place of the fear an aroused consciousness.
That's right.
You know, that we're not afraid to speak out and to stand up.
That's right.
And I would like to say that the black press needs the black church, and the black church needs the black press in this hour.
Mm.
We cannot afford to be witnesses to those who want to erase black history.
Yes, sir.
This is the second day of Black History Month, 2026. 100 years later, they're still trying to erase black history.
That's right.
100 years later, they're still trying to undermine our purpose and being to try to come together as a people. And so we need to, you know, work on this. That's why I see it as a strategic opportunity, not only to respond, but let's not only make sure that the charges are dropped and that they win whatever court case they face, Don Lemon and Georgia Ford and others. But to me, victory would be not only winning those cases, but victory would be mobilizing, organizing, making sure that we have the largest black voter turnout in American history.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Because, you know, there's a lot. He's not only closing up the Kennedy Center. I guarantee you he wants to close up the African-American Museum. They're just trying to find the leverage to do it.
Trying to find the leverage.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
So many of you, as you listen to some of the history, and again, your calls quickly, 202-588-0893. The truce, because what texted me, what's the truce? The truth between Mr. Sengstacke and Biddle, the attorney general, to prevent the black newspapers from being charged with sedition. Again, what the black papers were doing were reporting on segregation in the barracks, segregation, even when it came to blood supply for soldiers in World War II. It was reporting on the lynchings. They were reporting the black newspapers, the NMPA, were reporting on the lynchings of black soldiers in the South. And again, double V, the hypocrisy of fighting for democracy while being denied democracy at home. Double V, victory abroad, victory at home for democracy. So Biddle, under pressure from J. Edgar Hoover, this is in the 40s. J. Edgar Hoover got started in 1919 clowning, deported Marcus Garvey, all right? The truce was, and it was kind of interesting because I think the NNPA got the better end of the deal. The DOJ asked the NNPA to stop inciting unrest among black citizens. The counteroffer by the NNPA in the person of John Sengstacke was this: the press would remain loyal to the war effort, but wouldn't stop reporting on injustice. So remain loyal to the war effort. Du Bois had to cut the same deal in 1919. Because if you take away second-class postage, you can't distribute the paper.
Right.
The second thing that the Department of Justice asked were they barred black reporters from the White House and military briefings. Sengstacke was able to negotiate that would not be the case. So black reporters got their credentials to promote real facts. That was important. And lastly, they negotiated with those conditions. They were able to hold off on the sedition charges being brought against the NNPA. That was the plan. So this is 1942. 1 year later, doing black history, y'all, in the context of what happened to Georgia Ford and Don Lemon. 1 year later, Hoover published a report at the Department of Justice charging 43 black publications with causing black discontent and undermining the war effort. The DOJ didn't prosecute, but Hoover instituted, Dr. Chavis, something called ghost reading. And that those were agents who monitored the black press. Reading my, so they paid folks to sit up there and read what the black press was publishing every day. And then, of course, that metastasized as early as the 50s with COINTELPRO, disinformation, IRS audits to bankrupt and destabilize black newspapers like the Black Panther, which was a newspaper, like the California Eagle, another newspaper. Ghost readers ultimately came to be known as FBIs. You get it? FBIs. That's what they were known as. Federal Bureau eyes on the black newspapers. As many between during over those decades, I mean, hundreds of black newspapers. An archive of nearly 14,000 pages of surveillance used to deny passports and stop journalists at borders where they were doing coverage.
Yes.
Then in 1964, and this will bring us up to the arrests of Don Lemon and Georgia Ford. In 1964, the New York Times v. Sullivan case, sheriffs and whatnot in the South and Southern officials use a libel charge to silence civil rights coverage in the newspaper. And the Supreme Court established the actual malice clause, which was a standard preventing officials from using lawsuits to bankrupt the press. And that brings us up to today. So, That was in 1964, the Sullivan case. I think it was actually decided in the early 70s, though. But the point is, this is almost a century itself. Black History Month is 100 years old. Hoover's surveillance and attack and targeting of the black press predates Negro History Week and Black History Month itself. Negro History Week was in 1926. Right. Closeted, passing Hoover started targeting the black press as early as 1919. So again, that's before Negro History Week and Black History Month. And yet still practically 100 years of the history, of the 200-year history of the black press itself. Half of the history of the black press has been under surveillance by the U.S. government. So first of all, we should not be surprised about what happened to Don Lemon and Georgia Fort. It's been going on for 100 of the 200 years of black press, black newspapers, and black journalistic publishing. Yes. And it predates Negro History Week. J. Edgar Hoover himself was doing this. And if you look at it, 1919, a couple years later, Marcus Garvey's out because he's targeted him. So this has been the history, Dr. Chavis, and we need to know that history to fight against it.
Exactly. And we should shout out Carter G. Woodson, who is a profound historian, who knew what you just said was so important, Mark, that people that are ignorant of their own history is a people that will have no future. Mm. And so what we have to do is to make sure that we not only study and know our history, but learn from it. And one of the things we learned from the 1940s, and I would say even the 1840s, is that when stuff starts to happen, we just got to do more than duck down. We have to stand up and fight. And we fight nonviolently. I'm a disciple of Dr. King. But we have more now. Look how we are blessed as a people. We had low numbers.
Yeah.
Now, blacks and Latinos are 100 million, one-third of the population.
That's right.
And if we unite and vote massively, it will make a big, big difference.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in. Miss Alverta from Chevy Chase. Miss Alverta, go right here. God bless you. You're on here with Dr. Chavis. Happy Black History Month. Miss Alverta, you still? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me. I'm not doing something. There we go. There we got it now. I got Miss Alverta. I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I can hear you now. Did we lose her?
It sounds like Miss Alberta might have hung up. This is not Miss Alberta.
Who is this? What's your name, caller?
Oh, T. Barry.
T. Barry, what's up, man? Go right ahead. You're on here with Dr. Chavis.
Not too much. What you're talking about is a very difficult organizational problem, I think. And they have been silencing black people trying to educate other black people forever. Do you hear anything from Tallahassee Coates on the national level since he came out with his criticism after his visit to Israel, for example?
Yes. As a matter of fact, remember, he famously went on CBS, was attacked by Tony Dukapon. I'm going to ask you a question. Hold on. He went on CBS because his book just came out. That the last thing he did, he was widely publicized. He was attacked for it. He was specifically attacked by the Tony Dukapon, whatever his name is. Forgive me for the pronunciation. I apologize because I'm not clear on it. Dukapon, D-O-K-U-P-I-L, I think. Somebody check me on that. Was attacked. CBS internally said that Tony's attack on Ta-Nehisi was inappropriate. Barry Weiss takes over CBS at the behest of Donald Trump. And now Tony's hosting CBS Evening News. He was rewarded for attacking Ta-Nehisi. So they haven't silenced Ta-Nehisi. They've just rewarded his attackers. Go ahead, T. Barry.
Okay, but isn't that the case, period? Because of racism, they could treat the people with one thing. So they had a lot of female journalists who came up. Look how many of them just got replaced. When this war came up, or if they said anything negative about Israel. If you have this country, an apartheid country that is killing people and has been killing people and has never been attacked by any Arab country, all the attacks have been instigated by the United States and Israel. But if you say this, you're anti-Semitic. So I think it's black people, because of their ability to reward people, they'll only reward people like Karl Rowland, who attacked Martin Luther King, for example, when he talked to everybody about how the Vietnam War was bad for everybody, including black people. You don't hear it. So you can't have a program where you talk about people supporting, sending money to Israel, and we don't even have a healthcare system that's free in this country like they do in Israel. It's a very complex problem. I hope you come up with a solution. I think the solution might have to do with the churches. The churches may have to have a genuine moral code that they insist that black people who work in the industry follow. And the code might be following the truth and maybe criticizing certain systems, even if the systems are systems supported by the United States. I don't know how you fix it. I hope that you come up with a cohesive plan. So even if it's something like the people themselves come up, the journalists themselves come up with networks and whatever so that they can tell the truth without eliminating their career and their career goals and whatever. But I hope that there is, you know, more than just journalists. I hope that we as a people come up with something that can stop us from being criticized like we are.
Got it. Thank you, man. Thank you for your call. David, are you there? You're next.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah, David.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm like, you know, why don't we go out and support newspapers like the Final Call that it predicted this snowstorm, News of America, Nation of Islam. Go back, three, four people, look at the headline. It said on and says, God is going to humble America through weather. Why? That I'm not even talking about the weather. The weather is here. What I'm saying is the newspaper itself is one of the finest newspapers in our community as far as information, and why don't we support that?
Final Call is part of the National Newspaper Public Association. We support, we distribute the Final Call, and we support the Final Call.
Why does the community support? I mean, I think the question, Dave, and the question we're raising is, all of us in the community, the question is, why aren't we supporting our black publications in general? That's the question I'm asking y'all. Where are you getting your news from? Where do you get news? So what you're listening to now is independent journalism. If you're listening to this station, you are supporting independent, and 9 times out of 10, black journalism. We should do that. I would think the question would be, why shouldn't we do that across the board?
Yes.
That's what you're asking, right, David?
Yes.
Well, so, David, I challenge you. Don't just ask the question. I can ask the question. You give the answer. Tell the people from your point of view why they should.
And of course, I'm a person. I have a prescription. I support, even if I buy extra copies. My own point is the community, even the churches, the Christian church, has a negative view of the Final Call.
Yeah, some do. Some do.
Yes. The big ones do.
But you know though, David, that's an institution. Most black folk, regular everyday black folk, don't have no problem with the Final Call. But whether we are all subscribing, regular everyday black folk don't have a problem with the Afro newspaper or any other black newspaper, Pittsburgh Courier. But have we invested in it? That's the question. Are we spending our dollars with these black newspapers in the way we spend dollars with everything else, like on the lottery? You know, and I'm not saying that to put nobody down. Am I making sense, David? I mean, we have habits. We spend money every day on stuff that we need, that we think we need, or whether we need it or not. Habit. Should we not make it a habit? I'm asking a question. I'm not making a declaration, folks. I'm asking a question. Should we not have the habit of spending money with our publications? I think that's the David question. The question that David is asking. Thank you, David. Miss Alverta, God bless you. Not a lot of time left. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mark and to Dr. Benjamin Chavis. You know, we start saying Anglo-Saxon because when we're just pointing out Jews, we know that J. Edgar Hoover and all that crowd, you know, they went from maybe German or other, you know, extraction. So we
No, J. Edgar Hoover was black. He was passing.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. But this is the question. I want to say to Dr. Chavis, and you, Mark, these things, the three branches of the federal government is that also guilty. They're guilty because they're allowing Trump to do what he's doing. The Supreme Court, to point out that one, Supreme Court is just being silent about this, this man. And I don't even call him president. You know, the man to me is nothing but a common jerk. That's what I see him as. And so I'm just saying that the three branches of the federal government, what do you say about that? And I'll hang up and listen because they're allowing this fool to do what he's doing.
Well, you're making an excellent point. There's supposed to be checks and balances. Today, there are no checks and balances. The executive branch tells the Supreme Court what to do. The executive branch tells the Congress what to do. There's a government shutdown right now because the White House and others are trying to resist putting pressure on the Department of Homeland Security not to be doing all the awful, tragic, repressive, racist, you know, counterproductive actions that they're doing, not just in Minneapolis, but across America. And so you're right. But the thing is, elections have consequences, my sister. So what we have to do is, how did Trump get to the White House? You know, how did these conservative people get to the Congress? And not only the Congress, but the state legislatures. We got states where blacks are predominantly a majority of the state, but yet the legislature is all Republican. There's something wrong with that. We're not voting like we should. We have to make an effort, not just in hard times, but in all times, to make sure that our voices are heard, but also our voices are felt. And the best way to make us sure our voices are felt right now in 2026 is to have a massive voter turnout.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things the black press does is encourage people to get out to vote. And that is one of the reasons the black press is under attack. This is the same playbook that J. Edgar Hoover started 100 years ago. More than 1919 is more than 100 years. This is 2026. So 1926, 100 years ago, the founding of Negro History Week and Black History Month, 1919 was seven. So 107 years ago, the black press began to be targeted. That's documented that we know of. I don't, let's not be naive and think Freedom's Journal and everything before then wasn't targeted. But this is a documented campaign. Yes. FBI's on the black press, and obviously they still are. Dr. Chavis, thank you for joining us. BlackPressUSA.com, you'll find him there.
Thank you.
Touch later. A lot of work to do, y'all. Just asking questions. Should we support black journalists and the black press more? I think that's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Thank you all for joining once again, MIP on 89.3. We're going to
Thank you.
Back over to the studio. Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Chavis. Again, this is independent journalism, too. You know, I told everybody, when they come for me, I'm not going to be like Maduro in white tube socks and slides doing a perp walk. That's why I sleep in my shoes every night. Cornel West sleeps in his shirt and tie and suit in case somebody kills him. I sleep in my shoes in case I have to do a perp walk. dress shoes and all. Ready. Y'all not going to see me walking across the stage and no perp walk with handcuffs on and some slides on. That's just not going to do that. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.